what we were doing in last class, and that was that we were reading different scriptures from the Old Testament, and we were setting up this pattern that we're going to find in Romans that we've already discovered is in the Day of Atonement, but the light of the path of the righteous gets brighter and brighter as we go on. And so now we're looking at the captivity, and it's bringing in some new aspects. And we've been discussing the fact that the Jerusalem now is like the Lord's goat. It is the one that dies, and everything else goes into captivity, just like the scapegoat was put off into the wilderness, Israel, when the king Nebuchadnezzar came down to overthrow Jerusalem. And so we've been looking at scriptures and reading scriptures that pertain to the death of Jerusalem, but the captivity of Israel. It sounds strange to put it that way. The death of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem did die. It was destroyed, burnt to the ground. But the people went into captivity and were like the second goat on the Day of Atonement that was sent out into the wilderness. So what we're trying to get from the scriptures that we'll be reading again this second class is we're trying to focus in on when we hear them read to us, we're trying to find God's view of Jerusalem as cursed, because Jesus hung on the cross and was a curse. And some of these scriptures even use that wordage that it was cursed. So Kelly was reading in Jeremiah, and I think we're in chapter 34.
Ready?
If you'll read, I'm sorry. Yeah, 34, 1 through 5.
Okay. Jeremiah chapter 34, verses 1 through 5. The word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army, and all the kingdoms of the earth of his dominion, and all the peoples, fought against Jerusalem and against all its cities, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, Go, and speak to Zedekiah, king of Judah, and tell him, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall burn it with fire. And thou shalt not escape out of his hand, but you shall surely be taken and delivered into his hand, and thine eyes shall behold the eyes of the king of Babylon, and he shall speak with thee mouth to mouth, and thou shalt go to Babylon. Yet hear the word of the Lord, O Zedekiah, king of Judah. Thus saith the Lord of thee, thou shalt not die by the sword.
All right, so this scripture is dealing directly with the king of Israel at that time. All the verses we've been dealing with before this were just speaking of Israel. But here, that he's talking about Babylon coming, and Babylon will come and fight against Jerusalem. It doesn't say fight against Israel. It says fight against Jerusalem and shall burn it with fire. And then it says of Zedekiah, who is the king or represents the people, you will not die, but you will be taken into captivity. Okay. And he's saying, don't fight and don't die, but let Jerusalem die and you go into captivity. See? Amen. Don't become the death goat or you'll die a senseless death, because you're not the death goat. Jesus is. Of the two goats on the Day of Atonement. Be the goat of wandering. Be the goat. And again, I told you, the Jews to this day see this action as the grace of God by not killing them, but letting Jerusalem die on their stead. And that's what they say. Yes.
When they come back, they rebuilt the temple with the burned stones.
Yes, they did. Yeah.
They built the temple after Christ crucified.
Right. Amen. Mallory's saying, didn't when they returned or come to be restored to everything God had originally desired, they rebuilt the temple with the burned stones, the stones that it was built of that were pulled down and burned with fire. And they took those stones and they rebuilt the temple. And in her words, she said, the temple now, the temple that is now, is built on Christ crucified. It's good. That's the materials. Amen. That's the materials that they used. Okay, let's do chapter 35 of Jeremiah. We're going to do 11 through 14.
All right. Jeremiah chapter 35, verses 11 through 14. But it came to pass, when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up into the land, that we said, come, and let us go to Jerusalem, for fear of the army of the Chaldeans and for fear of the army of the Syrians, so we dwell at Jerusalem. Verse 12, then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, go and tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will ye not receive instruction to hearken to my words, saith the Lord? The word of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, that he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed. For unto this day they drink none, but obey their father's commandment. Notwithstanding, I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye hearkened not unto me. Is it?
Okay, so I'm going to say something a little strange. I know that's going to be weird for you to hear me say something strange. But my notes I wrote on that scripture, when they heard Babylon was coming, the people gathered to Jerusalem, the place of death, instead of submitting to becoming captives. All right, let me ask you a question. When Jesus died on the cross, did he die only for the people he knew that were going to become Christians? Or did he die for all men?
All men.
All men. I mean, all men. Yes. Yeah, that's right. All men. Okay, well, if he died for all men, why do some people go to hell? Because you have to believe it to become effective. All right. With that in mind, that's the truth, right? I mean, what we're talking about now is the truth of the gospel. But with that in mind, let's picture this scenario that Kelly just read. The people here, that Babylon is coming. And they gather together to fight against what God has planned. You know. And so they're going to end up either going into captivity or dying. Okay. So all the people that die in Jerusalem at that time die. But the people that go into captivity, they one day hear the word of the Lord. And they hear that God has made a way. And they return to find the new, because they knew that the old was done away. Right? And so they're like that goat that returns, but returns to the new day, returns to the full day. That's what that scripture, the translation. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that gets brighter and brighter until the new day, the fullness of time. And so they return to God's original intention. Okay? And you have people like Nehemiah and Ezra, and they're just trying to go with God. They're just with God. You know? I mean, you just read it. Some of you who know the scriptures, you know these guys, man, they're serious, you know. And I like the examples the scriptures give of people that are serious. Moses, when he came down from the mountain, I mean, he just got the Ten Commandments and he's coming down and they already broke them. They've got this golden calf, you know. And he goes down there and he breaks the thing in pieces, and then he takes these guys over to the water and he makes them drink the gold in the water. You're going, what are you doing, you idiot? Read it. He's down there going, drink it! Who was it? Nehemiah that got so upset when they started marrying foreign women? And he says, this is the very reason, one of the reasons we've gone into da-da-da-da. And he goes over and starts pulling their hair out. He doesn't pull their hair. All right. Well, that's what I'm going to start doing from now. No. I'm tired of this half-hearted, backslidden, fence-riding group. I know. The point of that, Mike, don't put her under the law. The point of that is that these men were serious about the Lord. They were not fooling around. Okay. And so the people that chose to return from the captivity, they didn't just return to something. They came to restore something, as we talked about, from the stones that were burned, Christ crucified, Jerusalem destroyed, from that reality to build what God wanted. Oh, my God. People, I don't know. You know, I'm either an idiot or a idiot, but it's still the truth, you know. I could be both, you know. Anyway. All right, so when they heard Babylon was coming, they gathered to Jerusalem to the place of death instead of submitting to become captives. All right. And believing, because the word of the Lord through Jeremiah and all these other prophets was, I will bring you back. It's there all the time. For every place it says Jerusalem will be destroyed, it says you will go into captivity, then it moves and says, I will bring you back and I will renew you and I will bring you into, you know, all this stuff. But that's for the captives, folks. It's not for the dead people. You know, and there is this truth of dying in Christ. They didn't. They were being rebellious. You see the difference? They were being rebellious. You have to see that difference. All right, I'm going to let Mike catch up, and then I'm going to call him up here to read a scripture.
Are we done?
We are. We're going to go to Zephaniah 3. Mike, you kind of ready? That's all right. Don't believe anything he says. Yeah. It's Zephaniah 3. It's in. I don't know. I'm using my iPad Bible.
It doesn't have. Fortunately, I've got tabs.
Okay, you're going to read 3:14 through 16 and then verse 20.
3:14 through 16, 3:14.
That's Zechariah.
I thought I had it.
Zephaniah, and he's the other direction.
Oh. These tabs are just not really. Hold on. Oh, okay, I get it. Thank you. Okay. Now where? We're in 3?
14 through 16 and then verse 20.
14 through 16. Okay. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all your heart, with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments, he hath cast out thine enemy. The King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil any more. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thine hands be slack. Now, where is that it?
Thanks. Okay, so this is God talking to Jerusalem, not to Israel. Did anybody notice that? Does anybody actually understand that you should go through the Old Testament, particularly when it's talking about the captivity, and never mix up the people, which is the scapegoat, with the Lord's goat, the one that dies? You shouldn't mix Jerusalem with Israel. They're two different entities, and they're two different ways of speaking because they're two different destinies. Jesus, Jerusalem, is destined to be destroyed. Amen? Israel is destined to go into captivity and then be brought back out of that. Unto what? Unto the death that took place, unto the stones, unto the reality of what that death is and has done and where they're going to dwell. All right. So the Lord is saying to Jerusalem now in resurrection, he says, I have cast out your enemy. That's us. We've gone into Babylon. Right? I've cast out your enemy. And then he starts talking about, I will dwell in you now, and I will do all of this, and you know, I'll be in your midst, and this sort of thing. And if you really just study that scripture, you'll see the joy of the heart of God that Jerusalem is going to become everything that was in his heart and not just a temporal thing while men pervert that. And therefore, somebody's got to pay. And he makes Jerusalem pay and sends them into captivity. All right, who did I have doing Ezekiel? Jim, was that you? Okay, come on up. We got this book, and then we just got a few verses in the book of Micah. Did I tell you, Jennifer, which ones? Specifically, it'll be Micah 3, 9 through 12, so you can get a little jump on it. Jim, you're going to read Ezekiel chapter 4, verse 1 through 8.
All right, Ezekiel 4, verses 1 through 8. Now you son of man, get yourself a brick, place it before you, and inscribe a city on it, Jerusalem. Then lay siege against it, build a siege wall, raise up a ramp, pitch camps, and place battering rams against it all around. Then get yourself an iron plate and set it up as an iron wall between you and the city, and set your face toward it so that it is under siege, and besiege it. This is a sign to the house of Israel. As for you, lie down on your left side and lay the iniquity of the house of Israel on it. You shall bear their iniquity for the number of days that you lie on it. For I have assigned you a number of days corresponding to the years of their iniquity, 390 days, lest you shall bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. When you have completed these, you shall lie down on a second time, but on your right side, and bear the iniquity of the house of Judah. I have assigned it to you for 40 days, a day for each year. Then you shall set your face toward the siege of Jerusalem with your arm bared and prophesy against it. Now behold, I will put ropes on you so that you cannot turn from one side to the other until you have completed the days of your siege.
Read verse
40.
40? 4.
As for you, lie down on your left side and lay the iniquity of the house of Israel on it. You shall bear their iniquities for the number of days that you lie on it.
I'll have some more for
okay.
you. All right. So basically he spelled it out, that this is what is happening to Jerusalem. And he says, I've built a wall against it, and I stand against it, and this is my word to you, and this is my stand in this situation. And then he says, I want you to be a picture of that. So he lays him on his side, and he says, you know, I'm going to lay the iniquity of Israel upon it. Not you, but it. Jerusalem. Because that's the subject he's talking about. It's right there. I'm not making this up. Tell her I'm not making this up. I'm teasing. All right. So to lay the iniquity of Israel upon Jerusalem, and it says that it might bear their iniquity. Jerusalem might bear their iniquity. So Jerusalem is destroyed because of Israel or Judah. Jerusalem is destroyed because of their failures. Israel or Jerusalem. And all of the iniquity that should have been on those. In other words, folks, God should have just come in to the land and just wiped everything out forever. For their sins and their abominations. I mean, see, sins is one thing, folks, but abominations is something else. And I think abominations go along with ceremonial uncleanness. It is doing things that aren't Christ, but it's even if it looks good or religious or right or sincere or whatever, it's not Christ yet. It's just us doing, you know, things. So we're breaking not laws in relationship to sin or this or that. You did this sin or you did that sin or, you know, this, you know, you're a rank sinner as opposed to you're a priest. And you're not allowing it to be Christ in you. Okay. So, you know, people get all worried. Oh, you know, God hates sin and all this stuff. Well, I got news for you. He hates anything that's not Christ. Even the best. Man at his best is altogether vanity, the scripture says. That's your best. Your righteousness, not your sin, your righteousness. Your righteousness is as filthy rags to him. Your righteousness. I'm trying to be righteous. Filthy rags. All right, Jim, Ezekiel 5:5, just one verse there, and I'll still have several.
Ezekiel 5:5. Mm-hmm. Thus says the Lord God, this is Jerusalem. I have set her at the center of the nations with lands around her.
Okay, and now read 14, verse 21 through 23.
Ezekiel 14, verses 21 through 23. For thus says the Lord God, how much more when I send my four severe judgments against Jerusalem, sword, famine, wild beasts, and plague to cut off man and beast from it. Yet behold, survivors will be left in it who will be brought out, both sons and daughters. Behold, they are going to come forth to you, and you will see their conduct and actions. Then you will be comforted for the calamity which I have brought against Jerusalem, for everything which I have brought upon it. Then they will comfort you when you see their conduct and actions, for you will know that I have not done in vain whatever I did to it, declares the Lord God.
That's such good stuff. My Lord. So the judgments, he says, I'm bringing judgment, and I'm going to bring the judgments, and he's very specific about it. I'm going to bring the judgments on Jerusalem, and that judgment, get ready, is going to bring change to the perpetrators, to the ones that are to blame. That's our Jesus. Amen. Okay, Jim 22:17 through 22.
All right, Ezekiel 17.
Let's see, is that what I said? Let me see. 17 through 22.
Okay. Okay, Ezekiel 22, verses 17 through 22. Yes. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, the house of Israel has become dross to me. All of them are bronze and tin and iron and lead in the furnace. They are the dross of silver. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because all of you have become dross, therefore, behold, I'm going to gather you into the midst of Jerusalem. As they gather silver and bronze and iron and lead and tin into the furnace to blow fire on it in order to melt it. So I shall gather you in my anger and in my wrath, and I shall lay you there and melt you. And I shall gather you and blow on you with the fire of my wrath, and you will be melted in the midst of it. As silver is melted in the furnace, so you will be melted in the midst of it, and you will know that I, the Lord, have poured out my wrath on you.
Okay, so there's that of Israel or of Judah. There's that which will not remain a captive. They will return. They will be restored. Okay? And in that same death that Jerusalem died, their dross is going to be burned up. They're going to be different than just captives anymore. You see it? They're going to be different. They're no longer just captives. They're no longer just sinners. They're no longer just failures. But in him and in his death will be their death, and therefore the removal of dross and that which offends, and all, and they will be made in him what they are. They will be made, I can't say, in his image, but it'll be in him. And from that will begin the process of the remnant that has truly returned. And remember this, there is a difference between the captives and the remnant. Okay? What's the difference? Captives remain captives in Babylon. You know, some went into captivity and never returned, don't you? But there is also that which did return, and they were called the remnant. Okay, let's see, chapter 24. And we're going to do 1 through 3 and 6 and 9.
Okay. Ezekiel 24, verses 1 through 4?
3.
3. 1 through 3. Okay. And the word of the Lord came to me in the ninth year, in the tenth month, on the tenth of the month, saying, Son of man, write the name of the day, this very day. The king of Babylon has laid siege to Jerusalem this very day. And speak a parable to the rebellious house and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, put on the pot, put it on, and also pour water in it. In verse 6, Therefore thus says the Lord God, Woe to the bloody city, to the pot in which there is rust, and whose rust has not gone out of it. Take out of it piece after piece without making a choice.
And then
verse 9. Therefore thus says the Lord God, Woe to the bloody city, I also shall make the pile great.
So the Lord is demonstrating, trying to demonstrate to them the reality of Christ crucified. He comes to Israel, he comes to Judah, and he says, you know, that you have done this and that, you're the actual perpetrators. But then he begins to to point to Jerusalem. And again, in those scriptures, in these very scriptures, there's a clear-cut division between the people and Jerusalem. And the language is very clear. And if you miss that, see, most Christians will probably just read through that and they'll go, they'll say, well, talking to Jerusalem or talking to Israel is the same thing. But it's not the same thing. It's a difference between talking to Jesus and talking to us about him being crucified. And in these scriptures, he's talking to his people, the sinner, the failures, the ones who failed God, and he's talking to them, and he says, and he points, and he says twice, woe to the bloody city, Jerusalem. Woe to it. Not to them, but to Jerusalem, which represents Jesus being crucified. Okay, one more, and it's chapter 36. And this is a good one to end on, Jim, for you. I've got one more for someone else after this. It's 36. And first just read Ezekiel 36, 24 through 28, and then I'll give you some more after that.
Okay. Ezekiel 36, verses 24 through...
Twenty-eight.
For I will take you from the nations, gather you from all the lands, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean, and I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will be careful to observe my ordinances. And you will live in the land that I gave to your forefathers, so you will be my people, and I will be your God. That's good news.
That's good stuff. Now read 34 through 38.
All right.
Same chapter.
All right. Ezekiel 36, 34 through 38. And the desolate land will be cultivated instead of being a desolation in the sight of everyone who passed by. And they will say, this desolate land has become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste desolate and ruined cities are fortified and inhabited. And
that was 34 through 38.
Okay. Sorry, verse 36. Then the nations that are left round about you will know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt the ruined places and planted that which was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken and will do it. Thus says the Lord God, this also I will let the house of Israel ask me to do for them. I will increase their men like a flock, like the flock for sacrifices, like the flock at Jerusalem during her appointed feasts. So will the waste cities be filled with flocks of men. Then they will know that I am the Lord.
Okay. 34 through 38. All right, so it's interesting. He'll be talking, and you find this all through, you find it all through the prophets. He'll be talking and he'll say different things. And the example that was used here in Ezekiel and that's used in Jeremiah and many other places, he'll say things like this. Okay, you have sinned and you failed, and I've sent you into a foreign land. But I will restore you. And he says, and after those days, a new covenant will I make with them after those days. Then he begins to describe this new covenant. And you're going, okay, wait a minute. The new covenant's for us. Okay, well, it is. That's all of those scriptures is talking about us. It's talking about that we are separated. We are sent into a foreign land. We are sent to a place not inhabited of God. And then we began to wake up to the true reality of Christ. You know, maybe we didn't know anything about him, but and in that sense, Israel didn't know anything about him. Here's what I mean. Traditions, teachings of man, all the things that Jesus addressed, when he was dealing with their religion, and said, you know, you don't even know me, but you know all of this stuff, and you've built everything. And so many times in these script, in these prophets, it gets to a point where he starts talking about the fact that Israel was burned and destroyed, you're sent away captive, and then he'll start talking about the new covenant. I'm going to wash you clean. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. All this stuff. So someone says, well, Randy, you're just making all this stuff up. But it clearly moves into that. These scriptures moved into that. I wish I could remember those last verses again, because those are just so good. Why don't you come up here and read those 34 through 38 one more time.
This is Ezekiel 36, 34 through 38. And the desolate land will be cultivated instead of being a desolation in the sight of everyone who passed by. And they will say, this desolate land has become like the Garden of Eden. And the waste, desolate, and ruined cities are fortified and inhabited. Then the nations that are left round about you will know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt the ruined places and planted that which was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken and will do it. Thus says the Lord God, this also I will let the house of Israel ask me to do for them. I will increase their men like a flock. Like the flock for sacrifices, like the flock at Jerusalem during her appointed feasts. So will the waste cities be filled with flocks of men. Then they will know that I am the Lord.
So he's not just saying, I'm going to bring back captives and you're going to get I'll give you a good parcel of ground and I'll bless you and I'll take care of your things and I'll do this and that. He says, I will bring you back and I will make you like flocks of sacrifice, flocks just like I had for the feast days. It goes on to say, just like that's, and you and my people will be flocks of men prepared for sacrifice. That's what it says. I'm not making this up. It's what it says, yeah. And so basically, you can say it like this, okay? When God brings back the captivity of Zion, because they're fit for Zion, you will be returned to God's original plan to have a temple that's built out of the fires of Christ's death, to have flocks of men for sacrifice, and to live according to His Spirit and His nature, so that when He divides the nations, He'll divide them as a shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats. He doesn't say, okay, you know, I think three or four of these goats did pretty good too. It's not about, in that judgment that he's talking about there, it's not about what you did or didn't do. It's about what is your nature. And that's how that judgment's made on that basis. Totally. It's totally that, you know, you've been a lamb, you've been a goat. I like what Jim said when he was reading something, you know, that was, this is the Lord and, you know, this is the way to go in the Lord. This was Sunday that he was reading and he says, you know, but, you know, the people did not obey or whatever. I don't remember the exact scripture. And Jim said, you got to get your butt out of there. It was good, brother. Because that means as long as we're in there, we're making an exception to what God is. Not just what he says. All right. We have one final scripture. Jennifer, if you'll come read it, Micah 3, 9 through 12.
I just wanted to say that I was listening to the scriptures Jim was reading, and I felt the Holy Spirit just like, listen to this, you know. And then when he read it again, like, I know it wasn't me. It was the Lord. It was the Lord. His word is so good. Nine through 12. I'm sorry. Okay. Hear this, I pray ye, O ye heads of the house of Jacob, and princes of the house of Israel, that abhor judgment and pervert all equity. Micah 3, 9 through 12, sorry. Verse 10, they build up Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. The heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire, and the prophets thereof divine for money. Yet will they lean upon the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? No evil can come upon us. Therefore shall Zion for your sake be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house as the high places of the forest.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Micah 3, 9 through 12. I mean, I shouldn't have to explain that one. My Lord. Yeah. I mean, you can't get any more clear. And you could say, well, Randy, why didn't you just read that one? We didn't have to go through all these scriptures. Because behold, in the volume of the book, not just the New Testament book, the book. In fact, when he said that, there was no New Testament book. When he said, behold, in the volume of the book, it was still being written. It testifies of him. And the hymn that it testifies of is Christ crucified. And the horror of those first verses there, 9 through 11, of the foulness of the men of God, the princes of Israel, the very worst things that can be done by those who claim to be leading God's people and after the Lord, God, through his prophet, is painting them in the true light of how he sees it. And then, when you would think all hell would fall on them and destroy them, he says, therefore I will plow under Jerusalem, not them, and I will see to it that all of this is laid on my son. I just pray that the Holy Spirit can continue to quicken his word. We still have much more to deal with in the captivity. We've only seen what God loved, his son, Jerusalem. Why he loved it, because he has become a habitation of God. God said of Jerusalem, of Jesus, I have desired him for a habitation. We are his body. He desires us for a habitation. More of Jesus, less of us. And then we've just seen that Jerusalem is the object of death, while Israel is the one let go into the wilderness, into captivity, with every intention of restoring whosoever will out of that group. You understand, whosoever will, because when it came time to come back, it was free will, and not everybody did. Many were comfortable in Babylon. And let me tell you, I don't know if you can see this or not, but the book of Revelation is all about Babylon. and come out of Babylon. Well, we're going, you know, well, you know, I think Babylon is this, and I think Babylon is that, I think this and that and whatever. Folks, we're Babylon. And he's saying, come out of it. You, when you left Israel, okay, here's the deal. When I took you out of the land that I had promised you, you dwell, and that's what that those last scriptures were saying in Micah. They were saying, God won't do anything to us. We can live this way. We can do this. We don't, it doesn't have to be Christ. It just needs to, you know, God's just blessed us and everything. And God looked, and Ezekiel is the best book, in my opinion, for seeing this. And he looks, and he sees it as foul. Israel as foul, Judah as foul. And he says in his heart, I'm going to take you out of my covering and my blessing and my everything that makes you think that you're okay. And I'm going to put you in a foreign land, and you'll find out what you really are. And there, many of them became comfortable. They said, oh yeah, this is good. See, this isn't like Egypt. We're not in bondage to the Egyptians. We can have businesses, yeah, and comfort and everything here in Babylon and still be the people of God. But a remnant said, we're going to return. And we're going to take the temple, the burnt temple, Jesus said, the temple of my body. We're going to take the crucified body of Christ, and we're going to build a temple for him. We're going to become that temple in which he inhabits us, and his life can come through us. And we will come to the original intention of God all along. What a powerful reality. What a powerful reality. And so, you know, my prayer is that the Spirit of God can take us through the rest of what this is about, and we can find a brighter light than we saw on the Day of Atonement and get that settled in us so that we can move on to Romans, so that we can move on to the cross, so that we can see the pattern of the Day of Atonement and the pattern of the captivity right in order, chapter after chapter, in the book of Romans. So we're not wasting our time. You say, we're not getting Romans. Oh, you're getting Romans. You already are getting it. But if we don't lay this groundwork, getting in Romans is going to be like just discussing stuff we already know. I know that scripture, and I know what it means. That applies to that. Oh, I know this scripture. That applies to that. And just break it all up instead of taking it and gathering it up in Christ and being able to see it laid out in God time after time, pattern after pattern, laying it forth, speaking through the prophets. This is the way I operate. This is my plan. This is my heart. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. Yes. And everybody else overshadowed. Where's Moses? Overshadowed. Where's Elijah? Overshadowed. Where's Peter? Overshadowed. Where's John? Sorry. This is no longer about everything and all things and all these things and trying to work them into Jesus of Nazareth. But it's finding him who is the length and the breadth and the height and the depth and the Alpha and the Omega and the beginning and the end. This isn't Jesus of Nazareth. Hallelujah. All right, let's pray. Father, may your Spirit, who only lives and only dwells among us to reveal Christ, may he be released in greater measure by willingness of our own heart to see beyond the veil. Lord, the intention that you've always desired is behind that veil. And may the Holy Spirit be granted willing hearts, because he'll not force it on any of us. And may we want Jesus more than we want anything else. May we give up our pet doctrines and our pet ideas and our precious things that we think we got from you, and maybe we did, but it is not you. It is something we got from you, and to give it up doesn't mean we give you up. Lord, Lord, we ask you. We ask you to graciously let us to know you. Let us know you. Let us see you. Let us do more than stand at a distance and see you. Let us enter in to that holy place, that holy of holies. Not just stand out with a rent veil pointing at what we know. But enter into what's in there. Like David did when he set up only Zion, only the Holy of Holies, and it was called Zion. This is Zion. This is the heart of Zion. This is it, the Holy of Holies. Lord, not by might, not by power, not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but by your Spirit, saith the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're dismissed.